present the News Quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
News Quiz. We start with a cutting from the Bedford News, read by Neil Sleet.
A man who ran completely naked through Bedford city centre has been arrested by police. One eyewitness, who didn't want to be named, said it looked like it was cold.
And our thanks to Kath Jacobs for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Jeremy Hardy and Bob Mills. And opposite them on my left, Matt Ford and Susan Kalman. Jeremy, who is anticipating a Greek tragedy?
Oh, it's all gone mental. Everyone's getting hysterical about the Grexit. And Mervyn King, the governor of the Bank of England, made this weird, shambling speech with lots of nautical metaphor in it about how the economy was a ship in turbulent waters, failing to draw the parallel between George Osborne and a U-boat in the scenario. And then Cameron made a speech about the Eurozone saying it's time to make up or break up. And I thought, I've never thought in politics that making it rhyme makes it true. That's why I've never liked demonstrations, because the fact that something rhymes with 2, 4, 6, 8 isn't that convincing to me, to be honest. But it's a proper how do you do the scenario. Greece is going to get kicked out of the Euro, and then Spain will go a bit wobbly, and then the whole thing will collapse. And you think, what? We'll all still be here. Everything in Europe will still be more or less where it is now. We'll have eaten some food. We'll have been to the lavatory. Everything will be as it was, except the entire financial system will have collapsed. It's mad. What are we doing, human beings? We're so clever in some ways, and sometimes I just think we're just apes with broadband. What are we doing? We've created this extraordinary world. We've got carpets. We've got... And not always. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we have sanded floors. But we've got all this stuff. And what is money? It's only bits of paper. I think we peaked at flint tools, to be honest. We were going great guns. We thought, oh, bits of rock, you can make an axe out of that. What's an axe? I don't know, but let's give it a go. And we did that, and then Spinning Jenny discovered steam at the Battle of Cardigan. And, I mean, the friendly society is quite a good idea, but it's all just gone a bit wrong, hasn't it, really?
And well, that's Greece, all we've got time for.
I love the guy who's smart-looking guy, looks like a Topman advert, who's going to be in charge of Greece. He's a real dapper little fella. And I love his attitude, which he said, yeah, don't worry about it, I'll win the election. Don't worry about those debts, we're not going to pay them. Yeah. And them saying, well, if you do that, we'll throw you out the Euro. And he said, no, you won't. Because I've had a look at how things work, and it'll hurt you more than it hurts us.
Do you know, I once went to a dinner, and they had this German economist on, and then they were going to have a Greek economist on. So the German got up, and he did about 15 minutes about how it wasn't Germany's fault, and Germany was going to be the one to save Europe, and da-da-da-da. And the Greek guy got up, and he said, what can I tell you? We spent a lot of money, we had a really good time. Probably if you bail us out, we'll do it again. And in that moment, everybody in the room thought, do you know, I'd rather be Greek. Are you interested in finance matters? Is it something that interests you? No. See, it's really hard to get all that excited and interested, isn't it?
Well, I don't think anyone's actually studied economics to the level at which they can understand what's happened.
Yeah.
Economics was never meant to go this far. The market was always just meant to correct itself.
Yeah, but you see, to me, it seems rather simple. Because Germany, right, they export cars, the Japanese televisions, the Greeks, philosophy and yoghurt. How are you going to make money? Actually, I blame the British for the whole Greek thing. Because between the Elgin Marbles and George Michael, the British have pretty much got everything of value that Greek has. You don't often hear the Elgin Marbles and George Michael in the same sentence.
What happened to the lady with the big glasses?
Nana Mouskouri.
Oh, yeah.
We love Nana Mouskouri.
She's
fabulous.
She?
Didn't she make a hit single, Get Them Out of Trouble?
Yes. She could team up with Vangelis. Demis is gone, isn't he?
Yeah.
But could do a Live Aid
yes.
Greece thing. George Michael, Nana Mouskouri.
And the bloke and his strange child who were in Britain's Got Talent. They could
The Stavros Flatley.
Now we're Stavros.
Yeah. We can do this.
Yes. There's continued speculation that Greece will have to leave the euro, threatening another global financial crisis. Athens this week swore in a caretaker prime minister. Well, they've tried economists and politicians. They may as well try a Blake with a brush.
You're great having a prime minister saying, oh, yes, I was in Burma, you know. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
2 points to Jeremy. Bob, which witch hunt saw red this week?
This is Rebecca, is it?
Yes.
Rebecca. Brooks, is it now?
It is, yes, yeah.
Who's the victim of a witch hunt. And I just think, if you look like that... Seriously, there are some phrases you should steer clear of.
I think it was her husband who said it was a witch hunt.
Yeah,
Charlie Brooks said...
He would know her better than anybody else, yeah. I suppose.
Well, what I like, he said his wife is a victim of a witch hunt and he's a scapegoat. Now, I...
So she's been arrested for... it's a rather serious crime. Is it conspiring to pervert...
Perverting the course of justice. Do you not think it's a fascinating case? I mean, I do wish there was some way of knowing what she's saying in private. I just think it would be so interesting.
Tell you what, when that case comes up, there's going to be nobody trying to get off jury service, is there? he'll say, you can't go, I've got a lot of orders coming in. I'm doing it, boss, I'm doing it.
I quite liked, after the story broke, Wednesday's papers all ran with this story on the front page, except, oddly enough, for The Sun, which went with beauty banged up for bunk up in back of Dubai cab. I mean, what a shame, they missed the top story. Maybe their internet was down or something, I don't know what happened.
Of it, of course, from the testimony in Leveson. The affectionate way that certain politicians and Rebecca Brooks behave towards one another.
Okay, so I'll give an extra point to anybody who knows who she shared a double seat with.
Oh, Jack Straw.
Jack Straw.
Very good. Matt was in first. Yes, very good. What's the story?
They would regularly get the same train from Oxford, and Jack and Rebecca said, why don't we sit next to each other? And sometimes they would talk, sometimes they would do their work.
But is it not a problem with this country that everyone sees conspiracies around here? I get on at this stop and you get on the next stop.
Yeah.
Oh, should we sit together and we'll have a chat? Ooh.
No, that's not the worst of it. It wasn't the fact that they were chatting. They were doing it in the quiet carriage. I do think...
Well...
Let's get some perspective here, people.
That is a crime itself. But it wasn't so much that. It was the fact that they would arrange to meet with each other and then they would have a gossip. That was the thing. Like, they were sitting with a magazine going, oh, she has put on weight, bikini bodies.
But do you not think that the Home Secretary and editor of The Sun, could have something more to talk about than... They gossiped about personalities and presumably where they could both get one. I mean...
If anyone can get a confession out of a suspect, it's Jack Straw.
Yes, but he...
She's lucky she wasn't on a plane to Bagram Air Base. Hood over her head.
Gossip's not the right word for a man who's... I mean, he held Home Office,
yeah.
Foreign Office. The last thing I want from a man who's meant to be in charge of one of the four major offices of state is him going, and you'll never guess what Gordon said. That is not the way a cabinet is meant to be conducted.
It's distressing, isn't it?
It is distressing. What I find most distressing is the fact that I've got a crush on Rebecca Brooks.
Do you know what, Matt? I see you in a new light suddenly.
A very dark light.
It does happen sometimes, Virginia Bottomley.
Yeah.
I know it's wrong, but it does happen. It does. It's just that thing.
Definitely.
You know it's wrong. You know it's dirty. You're just drawn to it.
Edwina Curry. There are so many.
No, stop. You had to go too far.
I was about to jump in and talk to you there, but you just... You know there's a line, and that was the line.
No, I think the line is Nadine Dorries. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Absolutely, Nadine Dorries. I've tried to narrow down in my mind.
Yeah.
Because I don't feel like I have a type, but clearly what my type is someone who's quite well educated,
yeah.
Wears a power suit, and is stubborn about our membership of the EU. And that is what I want in a woman.
I've never seen that in a Lonely Hearts Act. Are you single at the moment, Matt?
Yep.
Yeah. Former News of the World editor Rebecca Brooks and her husband Charlie have been charged with perverting the course of justice in the phone hacking affair that has engulfed News International and Westminster. Mrs. Brooks thought the decision to prosecute her and her husband was unjust and weak, which are coincidentally also their pet names for each other. 2 points to Bob. Matt, who no longer stands to benefit if they can stand?
The disabled, Ian Duncan Smith. The Secretary of State for Work and Pensions has announced this week. And a very odd phrase that he said, the disabled, even those who've lost a limb, so just to be clear, could now have their benefits reduced. They're talking about 500,000 people are going to lose their benefits. The reason why this government keeps coming up with so many different bad ideas is because they're trying to be green, they're ditching their car, they're remoding, as we heard this week. They're having to walk down the high street. This means they're coming into contact with things, and that's where they get their ideas from. So they walk past a Greggs and they think, maybe I could get some tax from that. They'll see a poster for the Paralympics and think, I've got it.
I've got
an idea.
Do you think it's a tactic to discourage disabled people from coming to Britain so that we can win the Paralympics? Is that...
Well, perhaps, I think to try and be sympathetic to Ian Duncan Smith, he's obviously under pressure for budgets. That's why the Tories are doing most of the things they're doing. These things are financial pressures. Ian Duncan Smith, to be fair, set up the Centre for Social Justice, done a fair bit of thinking on this area. What I do find rather ironic is that the man who described himself as the quiet man of politics is now going after people with hearing aids. Absolutely no chance of hearing what he says.
It is brave stuff. I mean, I don't think anybody else has ever tried to canvass for the anti-limbless veteran vote before. It's a new area.
So. But he couches it in terms of wanting to help people, which possibly he does. But he says, by leaving people on benefits or giving them benefits, he says, we're letting them fester. Which is different, because if you take the benefits away, well, then you let them rot, which is subtly, subtly different. It takes longer.
Yeah, he's been put in this terrible position by Osborne and Cameron, right? Because he's the only one. They look around the cabinet and they see him and they think, everyone likes you, don't they? Because you've got that. Even people on the left think, oh, well, he's a decent bloke, his heart's in the right. What can we do to really make you look as bad as us? Get rid of the disabled people. That's your job. And he's been having this terrible poison chalice. And what he's trying to get away from is when you used to get travel insurance, they used to send you a list. They don't do it anymore because they realised it was a bit insensitive. But what they'd pay you...
Yeah, how much if you lost a foot?
For a foot, a toe.
Yeah.
A leg, and it was a different, and it was almost like a restaurant. It was like a menu, because you'd sometimes be on holiday and you'd done all your money on the first night, and you'd think, I could pick up 200.
500,000 people are expected to lose benefits worth over £100 a week thanks to a reassessment of disability living allowance by Work and Pension Secretary Ian Duncan Smith. IDS argued that someone shouldn't automatically receive a benefit just because they had lost a limb. Well, quite right. Why should they get any support? No one's giving Ian Duncan Smith any extra special treatment, and he's lost all his hair. So 2 points to Matt. Susan, who declined an invitation from the Queen owing to a rocky relationship?
Well, the Queen of the United Kingdom is having a bit of a do at Windsor. She's having a wee bit of a party, and she's invited some of her friends and some dictators along. And she's having a bit of a party to celebrate her jubilee, and she invited Queen Sophia of Spain, as you do, as she is the Queen of Spain. And Queen Sophia initially said, yes, love to come, Queen. Are you having vol-au-vents, right? And she said she would come. And then the government or somebody said to Queen Sophia, you can't go because of Gibraltar, partly because the Earl and Countess of Wessex are going.
Yes.
For a trip, camping trip, don't know.
She's sending Prince Edward to Gibraltar for the Jubilee celebrations. Now, that is a snub, I think.
And so Queen Sophia is not going to the Queen's party on Friday, which I don't know if she's particularly bothered about it.
Of course she wants to go at the party. She's a little-known monarch. She don't get invited to a lot.
So is it like Danny Minogue wanting to go to all the parties Kylie goes
yes,
to?
Yes, of course.
As the lesser known Minogue
sister. She said, oh, the proper queen, because I think that's how she's known in Europe, has invited me. They've got a proper big palace and everything. Oh, it's going to be lovely. And she's bought herself a new frock. And then her government, her ministers, have said, oh, you can't go there, because we're having a rap with them about your bot. And she's always said, oh, well, can't you leave it just for today? She'll have, like, Ferrero Rocher after, there'll be all sorts of stuff. I'm sitting here having chorizo. I don't want to go a proper thing. And they have forbade her from going. That's what they've done.
You can see the point about Gibraltar. I mean, seen from space, it looks remarkably like a part of Spain. It does border Andalusia and not Sussex.
Yeah, but... It's ours, though, isn't it?
We Queen Sophia of Spain has cancelled a visit to the UK, marking Queen Elizabeth's Diamond Jubilee because of disputes over Gibraltar. Kings and queens from around the world are due to gather for dinner to celebrate the occasion. The celebration will be held at Windsor Castle, which is especially handy for the Danish royal family, who can always rely on free accommodation at neighbouring Legoland. There is concern that the Spanish Queen's failure to attend will upset the seating plan, which is very difficult with an event like this, where much effort is put into ensuring no one sits next to someone they might offend. Traditionally, Philip eats his dinner on a tray in the hall. And at the end of round one, the scores are Jeremy and Bob have got 5 points, but so too have Matt and Susan. We start round two with a film description from the Radio Times.
Iron Sky, 15. The President of the United States and his aide, a black male model, discover a secret Nazi base on the moon, which is preparing a futuristic assault on the Earth. Based on a true story.
Thanks to Janice Devon for sending us that. Bob, who's not been afraid to let his support out of the closet?
Oh, is this the president, Barrack?
Barrack.
What has he said, that I'm in favour of gay marriage?
He said, I don't mind.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Yeah. I don't think he said, you all have to be gay and you have to get married, or all gays have to get married. He hasn't passed the law. He's just said, seems to me quite a reasonable thing. That, you know, fine. But Mitt Romney, has taken this as a weapon. This should be the weapon to drive him out of the White House. Mitt gave a speech to some university and said, it's outrageous. It's outrageous. This is the line that he's reached, that we, the American people, cannot let him cross, because marriage is between one man and one woman. Right. I thought Mitt was a Mormon.
Yeah.
I think you'll find marriage, Mitt, is between one man and one woman and then another woman.
Yep.
And her sister and another woman. So it's a weird thing, the whole gay marriage thing, because...
Oh, the eyes.
And when I say weird, I mean wonderful.
It was just another word, W-in, yeah. Was it? Yeah.
No, I don't know what it is that makes people so angry about it. I genuinely don't. And I'm slightly to the right of centre, and I have certain views on certain things. I can't understand why it makes people... So angry, but it does, and in America it makes them terribly angry. And you know who's the only person who's come out of this particular little debate with any great credit? Mm. I give you Mr. Eric Pickles. Mr. Eric Pickles, yeah. Who everyone looks at as the face of bloated conservatism there. Eric Pickles, when questioned about it, said, seems to me, if nothing else, they should be allowed to do it. It seems good manners. And that's kind of it, isn't it?
But I love the idea that anybody thought to ask Eric Pickles in the first place.
They asked Eric.
My favourite government reaction wasn't Eric Pickles, it was Philip Hammond. And his position on it is that we're just too busy at the moment.
Yeah.
And I think poor old Philip misunderstood and thought that he had to organise the wedding. I've got this banking bill to sort out, NHS reforms, bloody gay wedding to be getting on with.
To be honest, I've been with my partner now for 9 years. I believe I should have the same rights as my sister or my brother did to marry my...
Your sister and brother are married?
Yes. But the same rights as anyone else, and we're getting unwedded because we can't say married on the 3rd of June, and it's astonishing when you kind of go into it all, what we're allowed to do. So we're not allowed to say the word marry, for example. We're not allowed the Pam Ayres poem, I'll Marry You. We're not allowed to come down the aisle to the Proclaimers' Let's Get Married. I can come down the aisle to Darth Vader's Death March if I want to.
Barack Obama's public support for gay marriage has been hailed by activists, although polls show it could harm his re-election campaign. Newsweek branded Obama America's first gay president. Hello. What about George Washington? Stars and stripes on the same flag. 2 points to Bob. Susan, who thinks it's time to ditch our imperial past for a future that's kilometres better?
Yes. Now, this story, it's all about perspective. So, for example, in the morning when I leave the house, I'm always very concerned about my left eyebrow because I have one long hair which can grow out at right angles. And I'm often concerned that it's sticking out and pointing at people when I should, in fact, be thinking, have you put your trousers on?
And in the same way, Lord Howe, whilst we're all thinking about the Olympics and thinking, is there going to be crime? What about the transport, et cetera, has decided that the key is whether or not we're part of the imperial or the metric system. And he said that the most glaring omission from the Queen's speech was to not sort out the fact that we're part imperial, part metric.
Yeah.
And he said extraordinary things like the mix up in imperial and metric causes confusion and it affects children's education and causes accidents.
Mm.
So, well, unless you're going into a shop and you say, can I have 35 tons of mints, thinking you meant 35 grams, I don't know any point at which mistaking a pint or a litre or a kilogram with anything else means you die. Now, I mean, I don't know what any of these measurements are. Anyway, I just do it by touch. You go into a fish shop and just touch a fish and say, that looks about right for four people. Admittedly, I'm banned from several supermarkets.
Apparently, what I loved is that Lord Howe fears that miles and pints make Britain look old-fashioned. And you think, dear God, this is an old man in a red cape who calls himself Lord.
And also, he's worried that when people come to the Olympics, what's going to confuse them about this country is, I wanted to get a litre of milk and they don't sell it. No, I'll tell you what's going to confuse them, that their ticket says the event starts at 3:00, and at 2:15, they're sitting on a replacement bus in Slough.
Confuse it that much. It's not like the top three positions in the Olympics are going to be, I don't know, gold, second and myrrh. It's not going to be...
It's what makes us charming.
Exactly.
They come over and you see them going straight to, let's go to a pub. Can we go to your pub? Could I have a pint of your beer? I'll have a pint of your beer. And how many of your pounds is that? 12.
Ready to go fully metric. This country still hasn't got over that whole marathon Snickers transition. That's
Yeah, and what if there's a run on the meter? We'd be exposed to that, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
If we stay outside of metrication, we'll be safe when the whole metric system collapses.
Lord Howe of Aberavon has stated that Britain should finally complete the change from imperial to metric in time for the Olympics, for fear of Britain looking like a nation living in the imperial past. Lord Howe pointed out that you buy beer and milk in pints, but petrol in litres, which does make it very tricky to get the right ratios in certain cocktails. 2 points to Susan. Jeremy, here's a question I prepared earlier. Who is setting sail for a digital future?
Oh, it's Blue Peter, which is going over to CBeebies. Thing is, Blue Peter's not been any good since... I mean, I think it was best when it was presented by people in their suits who were 50. And they would say, hello, children, today I'm going to speak to you about history. In the past, kings and queens ran the world, but people didn't appreciate them, so they had to be killed. Now, here is Cynthia. Cynthia's been abroad, and she's made a recording in a hot country. Hello, children, here I am in a hot country. These clever fellows are making things with their hands. I fancy I might have a go at that. Whoops, I've ruined it. Never mind. What's that? His family are starving. Never mind, give him a Blue Peter badge. And then it went to... And then they started thinking their mission was to teach children about hang gliding and survival skills. And the thing is about children's television, the only good children's television is when it's not aimed at children. That's why Tiswas was brilliant. Because CBeebies is all presented by sort of over-exuberant, unemployed actors who've been thoroughly CRB-checked, but no one has ever said to them, have you had a conversation with a child that didn't leave that child thinking, what are you talking about, you weirdo? I'm not a puppy, I'm a person. You don't have to do that funny voice with me, OK? I'm a human being. Talk to me normally and I will respect you. And they have In the Night Garden, which you just know is a translation from German. It just had to be In Der Nacht Garden. You can tell it was dreamed up by acid-crazed neo-Nazis in a Munich squat. It's awful.
Jeremy, you know I present a programme on children's BBC.
Oh, you don't, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, God. See, they should have had more lesbians on... Because there was always this myth that Valerie Singleton was a lesbian, which wasn't true. If they'd had more lesbians on Blue Peter, they'd have made really good stuff. They wouldn't have been arsing around with bits of toilet rolling. You know, they'd have had drills and... They'd have been building outhouses. fantasy.
It would have been Black and Decker
wedding. Because that's what you do.
That's all right.
Yeah, you want a wedding? Build one.
Blue Peter and other BBC children's programmes will be dropped from BBC One and Two and shown exclusively on the CBBC and CBeebies channels. As part of the BBC cost-cutting initiative, some of Blue Peter's former sections are being farmed out to other BBC programmes. Next week on Question Time, in between panellists, David Dimbleby will show you how to make a working potato alarm clock. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along, Mr. Hardy.
This was sent in by Rachel Mars, and it's from the Guardian newspaper online. Top five most viewed articles. It says 3, transgender journey facing the reality of surgery. 4, test your sausage knowledge.
12.
This is from Paul Rosen, and it's a symposium organised by the Centre for Applied Philosophy, Politics and Ethics at the University of Brighton. And the debate is, from whom should universities accept money and for what? And the keynote speaker is Deborah Cameron, I kid you not, the Rupert Murdoch Professor of Language and Communication.
Mr. Ford.
This is from Fiona Curry, and this is a clipping from the Kent and Sussex Courier. And this is an advert that says, do you want to break through your physical limits and help blind young people?
Ms. Kalman.
This is from Camilla Kingston, and it's an email from the chaplain of Robinson College, Cambridge. This Sunday at 6 p.m, the address at our chapel service will be given by Professor Kirkpatrick, who will be speaking about the afterlife. Hell, damnation and purgatory will be followed by drinks in the auditorium lounge. To which all are very welcome.
Let's take a look at the final score. Jeremy and Bob have got 13 points, but this week's winners are Matt and Susan with 14. Before we leave you, here is a cutting from The Nation sent in by Nick Viney.
Whilst Thai MPs were in session, a photograph of a semi-naked young woman appeared on the committee's projection screen. After investigating the source of the image, President Somsak has pledged to swiftly get to the bottom of it.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Jeremy Hardy, Bob Mills, Matt Ford and Susan Kalman. In the chair was Sandy Toksvig, and the news was read by me, Neil Sleet.